Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. How many of you struggle with living as a Christian? Oh, okay, well, there's a few of us. I know, it's not something you really want to answer, is it? Especially as Christians, you go, well, of course, you know, I enjoy it. It's a struggle, isn't it? Well, in Romans chapter 12, and especially our lesson today from verses 9 through 21, it's all about Christian living. Today, we're working in a realm of what the Bible calls sanctification. That's one of those big theological terms, and, you know, I know people struggle hearing big terms, those Asian words that we come across, but to really understand what's going on, we need to talk about two words first. Justification, and then sanctification. Behind the word justification is the idea of being declared righteous before God. And how this happens is exclusively the work of God, the work of Christ, who became a human being, who taught us the will and ways of God, and then having no guilt whatsoever in himself, suffered a dreadful punishment that we deserved for violating the will of God. It's also known as just pure and simple sin. When we heard the good news of Christ's victory over sin, death, and the devil, and trusted in the promise of his perfect life, which was placed upon us, like having a royal robe draped over our shoulders, and realizing God no longer saw the sin underneath, it made us rejoice. All he chooses to see is that royal robe of righteousness placed upon us by his holy and perfect Son, Jesus. God exchanged our imperfection for Christ's perfection, and promises never ever to take that away from us, thus guaranteeing our entrance into the courts of heaven. Because of that royal covering, robe, if you will, God justifies you and me without reservation and without any pre or current condition of sin that we might think would disqualify us from heaven. In God's sight, we are as perfect as Jesus as we wear that royal robe around our shoulders. Justification means that you and I have been made perfect by the simple declaration of God for Christ's sake at no cost and with no conditions placed upon that promise. You are absolutely free to be a child of God with all the benefits that come with it. Is that awesome or what? I'd say it's pretty awesome. It's as if you stood before a judge in court, guilty as charged. And the judge, instead of saying guilty, says the punishment has been paid. You are free to go. That's what justification before God means. God declares you and me right before him, because of Jesus' death and suffering and death in our place. Maybe you're sick and tired of hearing that, but I tell you what, it never stops me in that moment just to realize how much love God has for us, that he would look at us as sinful people and say, I need to do something about this. You and I are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Now let me take the other word, sanctification, which comes from the word sanctus. You've probably read that in your liturgy. When you look through the hymnal, there's the sanctus, which is part of the liturgy. And that word simply means holy. We know that what is underneath that beautiful robe of righteousness that Christ has given us, underneath isn't all that pretty. Sin still lurks underneath that robe. And our frustration in this life is knowing that we've been accepted by God and we truly want the inner part to reflect what's on the outside of us. But we also know what a struggle that is, day in and day out. I know you all remember this movie. If you don't, I'm sorry. Maybe look it up. It's an old movie. It's called Rudy. Some of you know it. Rudy was in Indiana. Yeah, I know Eric Trapp knows. In his neighborhood. Rudy was an Indiana-born and raised Catholic kid whose desire was to play for the prestigious football team of the University of Notre Dame. He couldn't see anything else in life that was more important to him than to go onto that ball field in full uniform and experience that glory. There was only one problem. Rudy was about 5 foot nothing and about 145 pounds. The lineman that he would face topped at around 300 pounds. So you can imagine what that was like. But with incredible perseverance and never give up attitude, somehow this guy made it onto the team. And though he was on the team, he hadn't been given the honor of wearing the jersey and being listed on the official roster. Well, when some of the players realized how important it was for Rudy to run onto the field with his team, one by one, they took their jerseys into the coach and laid it on his desk and said, "Coach, I want to give up my playtime for Rudy." And one by one, they came in and did the same thing. Rudy was suited by the grace given him by his teammates. But still, on the field, the coach refused to put him into play. Rudy wanted more than just the opportunity of wearing the jersey and being listed on the roster. He wanted to play. So toward the end of the game, when Notre Dame had the game, you know, in hand, his teammates and soon after the crowd joined in saying, "Rudy, Rudy, Rudy, Rudy," louder and louder and faster and faster. Well, the coach finally puts him in the game, and he actually makes a play and sacks the quarterback. This little 145-pound, 5-foot-nothing kid. Amazing. And then, of course, after the game was over, not of course, this never happened in the University of Notre Dame's history. They carried Rudy off on their shoulders after the victory. It's really an inspiring film if you haven't seen it. But you know, spiritually, we're all like Rudy. We've got no spiritual physique to play against the massive forces of evil. But God still puts us on the team, dresses us to play, daily trains and equips his players. And over time, what's under the robe begins to look more and more like the Christ who justified us by his grace. When you love God for the grace and privilege of being on the team, though still unworthy, the Holy Spirit gives you the desire to become what God has made you, holy and righteous. That's sanctification. Sanctification is that process of God molding us into the image of his Son and empowering us to become victorious over evil and doing good, just as Jesus did. If you've ever trained for any sport or competition, you know how frustrating that can be. You continue to make mistakes along the way. You work tenaciously to iron out the problems. You practice until it's perfect, and even then, you mess up. Sanctification, again, will not save you. You've already been justified through Christ. But sanctification is simply that love for being in Christ and being a part of the family of God that you want to be made new in the image of Christ. You want to grow, to be more like him. So in our lesson for today, St. Paul is talking about holy living and sanctification. But what if you fail? You're still on the team. God, through His Word, will continue to teach you. He will train you through the different experiences you have in life. He will encourage you through other Christians who have been through what you're going through at the moment. Sanctification, then, is that second work of Christ in which He allows us to participate so that we become a more holy people, being molded into the image of Jesus. And when you feel like you're failing to be holy in your experiences in life, remember what St. Paul said in Romans 8:28. All things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. All things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. So understanding these two doctrines side by side, the work of justification and the work of sanctification, will help you not to be defeated by evil, but to conquer evil with good. But let me warn you, as you've already indicated, the process isn't an easy one, is it? In fact, I believe the devil works overtime on people who have declared their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and are trying to follow Him in their daily walk. Satan will constantly bring to mind your own failures, whispering that you're not worth it. God thinks differently. And that's why the teachings are so important in the church. The Apostle John wrote, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." If we want to understand the abundant life that Christ has won for us in real practical ways, we have to be willing participants. Training is rigorous, frustrating, exhausting, and that makes us prone to quit. But remember what Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." So where God is at work, victory is assured. Maybe we don't always see it, but God does. And God is working through this process of sanctification to His glory. So to sum up, justification must never be confused with sanctification. And they must not be separated from each other, as if we can be justified without being sanctified. That's not God's will. It is His will that we be both justified before Him, that is, made right, righteous before Him because of the death of Jesus for our sins, and also sanctified, which means to, in His words, work out our salvation like an athlete. Not to achieve the ultimate victory of heaven, which has already been secured, but to live a victorious life here and now as we grow more and more into the image of Jesus. Here's the problem I'm coming to right now with, you know, less than 25 minutes to go. There's 13 verses in our lesson for today. 9 through 21. And that's a lot to cover. We could probably do a 5-sermon series and maybe, you know, get to each one of the things that he's discussed. And so I'm going to leave some of that for you to work on this week. We're going to read through those verses again together. And I just want you to realize that as you read those, don't expect perfection on your side. But remember, you're already perfect in God's sight because of Jesus. In grateful love to God's response, let us keep working on the exercises that He's provided. And this way, we don't let evil rob us of victory. Rather, expect Christ's victory in us to conquer evil. So in closing, we want to read from Romans 12, 9 through 21, the list of things the Spirit impressed upon the St. Paul to help us process this idea of sanctification. As you hear them again, listen to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit, who guides us through these spiritual exercises, and let's contemplate those things. There's an insert in your worship folder that I hope you can see. It's looks like this on one side with some instructions, but on the back side, that's where I want you to turn to. And what I'd like you to do is post this up on a mirror in your house, maybe in the bathroom, or put it up on the refrigerator, somewhere where you're at. Maybe if you work in a computer cubicle or something, or you can post it up there. And each day, take a look at it and read each point with some contemplation, meditation. Really think about the things that God is listing for us to consider together. Pray to the Holy Spirit to reveal situations in your life where one or more of these exercises might apply. And then ask God the Spirit to help you grow in the grace of Christ. So these might help us to move into the Christ-like life. So let's read them slowly together. They're also going to be on the screen, but you can read them also from here. But we'll take some significant time, not a lot of time, but just pause at each one just to reflect on the meaning that God has for us in growing in our sanctification. So the first one is, let love be genuine. You can read with me. Number two, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Number three, love one another with brotherly love, affection. Number four, outdo one another in showing honor. Number five, do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Number six, rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be constant in prayer. Number seven, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Number eight, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Number nine, rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Number 10, live in harmony with one another. Number 11, do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Number 12, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Number 13, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. And 14, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. And finally, our theme, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So may God bless our efforts this week and beyond as he works his will in us through his Son, Jesus Christ, who justifies sinners such as we are. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, may we grow in our sanctification to be more like Jesus and share his victorious life over evil. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.